Welcome to Talks from the Bible. I wish to read to you a passage of Scripture which is taken from the 15th chapter of the Gospel of Luke, verses 1 and 2. Then drew near unto him all the publicans and sinners for to hear him. And the Pharisees and scribes murmured, saying, This man receiveth sinners and eateth with them. Two types of individuals were in the audience of Jesus. There were the publicans and sinners who had come to hear him. Of all of the individuals that we need to hear this day, Jesus is that one. We need with great urgency to hear the words of Jesus. The publicans and sinners came to hear him. The Pharisees and scribes only murmured. They murmured against Christ, making this claim, This man receiveth sinners and eateth with them. As Jesus explains this connection to the publicans and sinners, he delivers three parables, which begin with verse 3 of Luke 15 and continue through verse 24. All of these parables teach the Lord's concern for sinners. Jesus teaches these three parables to indicate his great concern and heaven's great concern, God's great concern, and even the concern of the church for the lost. Jesus tells the parable of the lost sheep. Jesus tells the parable of the lost coin. And Jesus tells the parable of the lost son. The sheep, the coin, and the son were all lost. The shepherd was concerned about the sheep. The woman was concerned about the coin. The father was concerned about the son. What you and I must understand today is that heaven is concerned about us. Heaven wants the sinner to be saved. Jesus Christ came to save us. And he was willing for us to be saved to such an extent, to such a depth, that he was willing to die on Calvary's cross. At Luke chapter 22, at verses 19 and 20, Jesus is eating the Passover feast with his disciples. In a few hours, he will be placed upon the cross, where he will die the horrible death of crucifixion. As he eats this Passover feast, he makes this statement, verses 19-20 of Luke 22. He took bread and gave thanks and brake it and gave unto them, saying, This is my body which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me. Likewise also the cup after supper, saying, This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you. Jesus took the bread. Jesus drank the cup. He said, This bread is my body. This cup is my blood. My body is given for you. My blood is shed for you. Jesus gave himself so that the sinner might be free of sin, so that the lost might be reconciled unto God, and so that all of humanity everywhere could understand the great concern that heaven has for the salvation of the lost. The church must be concerned about the salvation of the lost. The saved must be concerned about the salvation of the lost. Those who have a relationship with God those who experience the love of God, those who bow before God and worship Him, those who know Him as Father, must have a concern for the lost, even as God the Father and Jesus the Son has a concern for the lost. This man receiveth sinners. Jesus gave Himself for sin, offered His body, and shed His blood upon the cross. And His blood provides redemption. Redemption gives freedom from sin. We are free from the bondage of sin. The chain of sin is broken. The influence of sin is dissolved. Like a slave who is redeemed from his slavery, the sinner is redeemed from the bondage of sin. And redemption also means that we are forgiven of sin. God forgives our sin. Some sins may be, in the eyes of man, considered to be worse than other sins. And even an individual can believe that the sin of his life or her life may be worse and deeper than the sin of another life. But in the eyes of God, sin will destroy the soul. Sin will bring us in captivity to the devil. And Jesus has come to redeem all sin and to forgive all sin. 1 Peter 1:18-19, "You were not redeemed with corruptible things such as silver and gold from your vain conversation received by tradition from the fathers, but rather with the precious blood of Christ as of a lamb without blemish and without spot." We were redeemed not with silver and gold, but rather we were redeemed with the precious blood of Christ. His blood is precious because He was and is the Son of God. His blood is precious because it has the power to remove human sin. His blood is precious because His blood has the power to reconcile the heart of the sinner, the enemy of God, unto God, so that we can be known as the sons and daughters of the Heavenly Father. 1 Peter 2:24. "Who His own self bare our sins in His body on the tree, that we being dead to sin should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes ye were healed." Jesus bore our sins in His body on the tree, on the cross. Jesus took the sin of the world upon Himself. He bore that sin to the cross, where He paid the penalty that satisfied God in His righteousness and through His grace. Jesus has satisfied the penalty of sin inflicted by God in His offering of Himself, in the shedding of His blood, so that we might live unto righteousness. The redeemed sinner must live unto righteousness. The redeemed sinner must follow the law of the Heavenly Father. The redeemed sinner must give himself to the service of God. And rather than living in unrighteousness, we must live in righteousness. Rather than being ungodly, we must be godly. 1 Peter 3:18, "For Christ also hath once suffered for sins, the just for the unjust, that He might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but quickened by the Spirit." Jesus was put to death in the flesh. He died on the cross. His body was buried in a tomb, but God's Spirit quickened Him, brought Him alive again. He was raised from the dead. His resurrection is the foundation of faith. His resurrection is the cornerstone of redemption. His resurrection provides the promise that God will redeem man and forgive man and purify man, and man can be at one with his God once more. Jesus Christ suffered for sins, the just for the unjust. Jesus was just, but He suffered for the unjust. The innocent suffered for the guilty. Ephesians 1:7, "In whom we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of His grace. According to the riches of God's grace, the blood of Christ has redeemed us from sin and has forgiven us of sin. Jesus Christ receives sinners. The sinner can come unto Christ because of the sacrifice that Jesus made, because of His body that was offered and His blood that was shed. We need to come to hear Christ. We need to come to hear about redemption, hear about forgiveness, hear about eternal life and eternal hope. The sacrifice of Jesus Christ was a permanent solution for all time to the problem of sin. Hebrews 9:26-28, "For then must He often have suffered since the foundation of the world. But now, once in the end of the world, hath He appeared to put away sin by the sacrifice of Himself. And as it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this the judgment, so Christ was once offered to bear the sins of many. And unto them that look for Him shall He appear the second time without sin unto salvation." Jesus has offered one final sacrifice that satisfies God in the penalty and payment that He requires for sin. Jesus has appeared to put away sin by the sacrifice of Himself. Sin is forgiven through Jesus Christ. The sinner is redeemed through Jesus Christ. And no other sacrifice will ever have to be made again. For God has been, the righteousness of God has been satisfied by the offering of Jesus Christ. He was once offered to bear the sins of many, of every individual that will come unto Christ through faith and obedience. His sins can be forgiven by the offering of Jesus Christ. Unto every human soul that will confess Christ and put Christ on in baptism, his or her sins are forgiven for all time. Hebrews 10:12-14, "But this man, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down on the right hand of God, from henceforth expecting till his enemies be made his footstool, for by one offering he hath perfected forever them that are sanctified." One single offering perfected those that are sanctified. We are sanctified through obedience by God's Holy Spirit. We are made fit, made worthy to serve God and know God, be able to walk with God, pray unto God, worship God, sacrifice for God, live for God, serve God, and do His blessed will by the offering of the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. Jesus has perfected forever those that are sanctified. The sacrifice of Jesus Christ is a permanent solution to the problem of sin. We must come to hear Him. As sinners, we must come to obey Him. Jesus Christ receives sinners. And from that sacrifice, we have these blessings. We are blessed by the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. We have the forgiveness of sin. We need to see the horrible nature of sin. We need to see the devastation that sin can bring. Sin can destroy a reputation. Sin can sear a conscience. Sin can bring guilt. Sin can destroy relationships. Sin can curse a society. Sin is a horrible malicious, devastating malady. We need to see the horror of sin so that we can appreciate the blessing of forgiveness. Sin is not something that society does that can simply be overlooked, ignored, or even tolerated. God will forgive sin. And only when we understand the horrible nature of sin, and sin will bring death. Sin will separate the heart of man from the heart of God. Sin will deafen the ears of God when we pray unto Him. Sin will remove God from our lives. And ultimately, sin will bring the destruction of the human soul in the fires of hell. The offering of Jesus Christ is for the forgiveness of sin. Ephesians 1:7. We return to this passage of Scripture. In whom? In Jesus Christ. In Jesus Christ alone, we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of His grace. Redemption means the forgiveness of sin, any sin, all sin, every sin, whatever the sin of your life, whatever the sin of my life, whatever the sin of society, the blood of Jesus Christ has the power to cleanse that sin so that God will forgive that sin and remove it from the record book of human life. According to the riches of His grace. Oh, what amazing grace God has bestowed upon the human family in the forgiveness of sins, and how many souls ignore the forgiveness of sin. Matthew 26:28. For this is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for many for the remission of sins. Why did Jesus die on the cross? Why did He experience such a horrible death? Why did Jesus choose to leave the Heavenly Father and come and live upon earth where He would know rejection and persecution and slander? So that humanity could know and experience the forgiveness of sins. One of the great blessings that has been bestowed upon humanity from God, that has come from heaven, is the forgiveness of sins. From the sacrifice of Jesus, we have the birth of the new man. We can begin again. We have new life. We're born again. When we were born as an infant, we were born pure and innocent. But over a process of time, due to pleasure and lust and passion, deceit, we were defiled with sin. And so we became stained and flawed. But the sacrifice of Jesus offers a new beginning, new life. Ephesians 4:22-24 describes the conversion of the human soul. A person can turn around and begin anew. A person can change the way he lives, the way he thinks. He can remove himself from the road of destruction to the road of hope. He can travel a new way. Become a different person. We can change ourselves through the process of conversion that is offered by God through the sacrifice of Jesus. Ephesians 4:22-24, Paul said that ye put off concerning the former conversation the old man which is corrupt according to the deceitful lust, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that ye put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. Look at this conversion process. This old man is corrupt because of deceitful lust. But we're to put off that manner of life. We're to put away that behavior. We're to stop living that particular kind of life. Conversion is a change of lifestyle. It is a change of behavior. And we become renewed in the spirit of our mind. We change our thinking. The only way any person will change the way that they behave is that they must change the way they think. And you put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. Only God can create the new man. But God is willing and able to do that because of the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. God allows man the opportunity to change the way he lives and conducts his life because of the sacrifice and the offering of Jesus Christ. So put off the old man, be renewed in your thinking, your mind, and put on the new man. And this new man is clothed in righteousness and true holiness. This is the character of God. God is a holy God. And we can live in holiness because of the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. We have peace with God. Sin makes us the enemies of God. When you read through the pages of the Old Testament, the history of the nation of Israel, you read of enemies. And those enemies were people who opposed God, who opposed righteousness, who loved sin, who lived in debauchery and perversion and immorality. And they were the enemies of God. They were at war with God. You don't want to go to war with God, you'll lose. Gamaliel told the Jewish council in Acts 4, we cannot fight against God, we'll lose. All of the enemies that stood opposed to God in the Old Testament lost. They were overthrown, they were destroyed. And the soul that stands in opposition to God today will be destroyed. But through the offering of Jesus Christ, rather than being the enemy of God, you can become the friend of God and you can know peace with God. Ephesians 2, verse 15. Having abolished in his flesh the enmity, even the law of commandments contained in ordinances, for to make of himself of twain one new man, so making peace. Jesus makes peace between the soul of man and the character of God. Jesus can provide us with peace between one another. Romans 5:1, therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, because we're reconciled unto God. We're brought into the favor of God. Our hearts are renewed with God. And we know God as Father. We call upon Him in prayer as Father. We walk with Him and commune with Him. We're not the enemy of God any longer because of the sacrifice of Jesus and our submission through obedience to that sacrifice, but rather we become the friend of God. We have friendship with God. Abraham is described three times in the pages of Scripture, the final one being in the second chapter of James, as the friend of God. The Bible says that Enoch walked with God, Genesis chapter 5. Noah walked with God, Genesis chapter 6. Walking with God is a blessed opportunity that is provided by the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. Romans 5 and verse 10, For if when we were enemies we were reconciled to God by the death of His Son, much more being reconciled we shall be saved by His life. We were His enemy because of sin, but now we are His friend because of righteousness. We've been reconciled unto God, brought into the favor of God, reunited with God. by the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. What great blessings have come to humanity because of the sacrifice of Jesus. This statement made by the Pharisees and scribes, "This man receiveth sinners," that's a powerful statement. And from that time until this day, Jesus Christ will receive sinners so that we can have friendship with God, walk with God, call upon God, know God, experience the blessings of God and the peace that we have because God is our friend. Colossians 1:21-22, "And you that were sometimes alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works will make you alienated from God." It will cut off your relationship with God. There are people who believe that they can live in sin and yet have a relationship with God. But the Bible teaches that that is contrary to truth. "You were alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now hath he reconciled in the body of his flesh through death to present you holy, unblameable, and unreprovable in his sight." Those are the friends of God. The holy, the unreprovable, and the unblameable. And Jesus Christ is able to bestow upon us that nature and clothe us in those garments by the sacrifice that he made on Calvary's tree. From alienation to reconciliation. From being the enemy of God to being the friend of God. Because Jesus Christ in his flesh through death made that possible. But we must accept that. We must receive that. We must obey that. Another blessing is eternal life. 1 John 5:11-12, "This is the record which God hath given to us, eternal life. And this life is in his Son. He that hath the Son hath life, and he that hath not the Son hath not life." We either have life or we have death. Man either lives or man dies. "And the soul that sinneth it shall die." Ezekiel 18. "The wages of sin is death." Romans 6:23. But Jesus Christ has given to us eternal life. We will live in harmonious bliss and in everlasting comfort because of Jesus Christ. We will pass from this world into the world of eternal rest, living forever and never dying, because we are an immortal soul. We are an eternal being. And God, through Christ, gives us eternal life. And then finally, by the sacrifice of Jesus Christ, we have an eternal inheritance. The inheritance that God will give to those who believe on Christ and who obey Christ and follow Christ will be eternal. Any inheritance of earth will fade in its glory, diminish in its value, and simply waste away through the process of time. But 1 Peter 1:3-4, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible, undefiled, fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you." God has given to us through the sacrifice of Christ an inheritance that is incorruptible, undefiled, fades not away, reserved in heaven. And so the exhortation of Jesus in Matthew 6:20, "Lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal." This man receiveth sinners. Jesus Christ receiveth sinners. Will you not come to him in obedient faith, being united with him in the water of baptism, and know the blessings that He has provided through His sacrifice, the giving of His body, and the shedding of His blood. Talks from the Bible are brought to you by the Church of Christ.